I'm Anna Webb. Welcome to A Dog's Life. Hey, Mr. Binks, you know how you've never had any more vaccinations since when I got you back in 2014, age two. Well, that's one of the reasons why we're jumping on Zoom now to talk to the highly acclaimed vet and holistic vet, Dr. Lise Hansen, who is also the author of the also highly acclaimed book, The Complete Book of Cat and Dog Health, to get the latest from Lise on the new World Small Animal Veterinary Association vaccination guidelines. Lise Hansen, so welcome back to A Dog's Life.
Thank you.
No, it's great to have you on, you know, because your podcasts are, I'd say, arguably some of the most listened to episodes in the entire series.
That's nice to hear. Have we done, is this the fourth we're doing? We've done a few at least.
We have done a few. I think this is the fourth. We did one with Nick Thompson and Andrew Prentice as well, didn't we?
Yes, so we did.
That counts as one of them, definitely. You've really highlighted testing before you treat, and that can be done with vaccines, can't it, Lise?
Yes, it can. It's a lovely mantra, and it can be used in lots of different areas. I mean, in terms of vaccines, we've actually had, I've only read it once, but just a few days ago, the WSAVA, World Small Animal Veterinary Association, published new vaccine guidelines. So I think vets all over the world are busy studying them at the moment. It's the first time in more than 8 years that we've had new guidelines.
One of the
things that they recommend, it's not majorly different from the guidelines that, you know, the previous guidelines, but it's been tweaked here and there. And one of the things that they highlight in this version is that they now recommend that all puppies after their puppy vaccines should have a titer test to make sure that the puppy vaccines have worked. So that's a big one. And a titer test is a blood test that checks whether a previously given vaccine is still offering protection. And more we're starting to, instead of sort of blindly repeating dog vaccines at regular intervals without knowing whether they're needed or not, it's becoming more and more widespread to take a blood test to check whether the previous vaccine still works. But it's a new step that the World Small Animal Veterinary Association are saying all puppies after the puppy series should have a titer test to see that the puppy series worked.
That really is interesting, because, you know, this whole titer test thing, do vets learn about them at vet school, these titer tests, and how to read them?
I suppose it depends when you went. I certainly didn't, but we didn't have them. I mean, I went to vet school more than 30 years ago and we didn't have them then. So I don't know is the honest answer. You learn a lot of basic science at vet school, but lots of the application, I suppose, comes once you go into practice. But certainly titer testing is, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, it was groundbreakingly new, but it has become very mainstream, and is used a lot and is discussed extensively in these guidelines that have just been updated. Not everyone is doing it. And that's another one of my sort of secret tip questions that I would ask a prospective vet is whether they do in-house titer testing, because if they do, then you know that they are a progressive, up-to-date veterinary clinic as opposed to someone who's just doing stuff the way they've been doing them for 30 years. So, you know, anyone with a young puppy, ask vets, what diets do you recommend? What do you think about raw food? Do you do in-house titer testing? Do you do worm counts? You know, all of those things. I see it as a test. You know, it'll tell you where they are, and then it'll tell you whether they're for you. And lots of vets are really interested in these things, even if they may not offer them if you don't bring it up. It's just a nice way to find out whether you're on the same page.
Absolutely. So with my friend who's literally just brought home a tiny female Shiba Inu puppy, obviously questions over the weekend about vaccines. And she is 4 months, so she's had her two vaccines already for the puppy shots. But on the vaccination card, there's a third vaccine to be completed. So I said, well, I'm a bit confused, really, you know, as to what that could be. You know, she's had her two shots 2 weeks apart. Therefore, that's her puppy shot. That's her puppy shots. Unless this third vaccine is for the leptospirosis vaccine.
Well, I mean, that's exactly. I mean, there's when we talk about vaccines, I think the first thing to make clear is that we can't just talk about vaccines. We need to be very specific. It easily becomes a sort of trench war in those, you know, I've seriously heard veterinary colleagues say that vaccines can do no harm. I've never seen a vaccine side effect in 30 years of practice or whatever, which is obviously ludicrous. I mean, this report that I've just quoted also discusses vaccine side effects and the gross underreporting of vaccine side effects and the fact that it's something we have to watch out for. It happens. It can happen. But the other side of that is people who are very anti-vaccine. And neither really makes sense. You know, we need to have a nuanced debate about the best way to use vaccines. And the first step in that is to just what vaccines are we talking about? There are 5-6 different vaccines that are commonly given to dogs. And if we're going to talk about vaccines or puppy vaccines, we need to first say which ones we mean. The main three diseases that puppies need to be vaccinated against are parvovirus, distemper, and hepatitis. And they are typically given together in one shot. And the advice for a long time has been to vaccinate at 8, 12 and 16 weeks. You can tweak that depending on whether you use titer test, depending on when you get the puppy. It's not important how many they have, really. Only one of them is going to work. And that's the important part when we're talking about puppy vaccines. These are not boosters. A puppy is vaccinated or protected against these three diseases that I just mentioned from one shot. Only one shot is needed to give protection for years. The problem with vaccinating puppies is that if they have been born from a healthy mum and they've had colostrum in the first 4 hours of life, then they will have received what we call passive immunity through the colostrum from their mother in the first hours of life. And that protects them until their own immune system is up to speed. But the problem with these, we call them MDAs or maternally derived antibodies, is that they will also block a vaccine. Because when you give a puppy or anybody a vaccine, you give them a little bit of disease to show their immune system what it looks like so that the immune system can produce antibodies and prepare itself and be ready if it ever meets that disease in its full force. And they will be protected. But when you do that to a puppy that still has its mother's antibodies in their system, they will block that from happening because they will see it as a bit of disease and they will do exactly what they're supposed to do. And they will bind to the vaccine and they will stop the vaccine from having any effect. So the outcome of this, and I discussed this in my book at length, I think it's really fascinating, but the outcome is that the puppy can only be vaccinated once the mother's antibodies have left the system. And the huge problem is that when exactly that is varies on a number of factors that we can't easily predict. Some puppies may have no maternal antibodies and they can be vaccinated as early as 6 or 7 or 8 weeks. Other puppies will have loads of maternal antibodies and will not be able to receive a vaccine until they're 4 months old. So that's the only reason why we give puppies a series of vaccines. It's a little bit of carpet bombing, for lack of a better word, because only one of them will work, but we don't know which one. So we just give them several so that each puppy will receive, will react to the vaccine when it's ready, i.e. when the maternal antibodies have fallen below a certain level and don't block the vaccine anymore. So it's not about how many vaccines the puppy gets, really. It's about the age of the puppy when they get the vaccines, because we know that maternal antibodies fall away at some point for almost all puppies. They go below the sort of magic number where they no longer block the vaccine at some point between the puppy being 8 weeks old and 16 weeks old. But of course, that's a huge span. That's 2 months. And it may vary by that much between puppies in the same litter. So if you have a litter of puppies, you may have this Shiba litter. One of the dogs can be vaccinated at 8 weeks. One of the puppies can't be vaccinated until it's 16. And when I say it can't be vaccinated, obviously you can inject as many vaccines as you like, but it won't work. They won't be immunized until the mother's antibodies are gone.
That interests me, though, with the WSAVA's latest statement about doing the puppy shots and then titer testing. Surely then that might actually not work awfully well, in so much as if a puppy had the standard thing, which is, well, in the UK, you know, it's mandatory for responsible breeders to inject a puppy at 8 weeks so that owners take the puppy home having had one shot.
Yes.
And then normally you have it 2 weeks after that, the second shot. But then if you did a titer test and say the maternal antibodies hadn't worn off on that puppy at that time, then the titer test is going to say that the dog's not immunized, and then it'll lay the land open for several more shots.
No, I should have been more specific. First of all, it's the general recommendation in the UK is 2 to 4 weeks intervals. So typically the recommendation is 8 weeks, 12 weeks and 16 weeks. But it's also clearly said that out of those, the most important one is 16 weeks for the reason I just said, that if, you know, that's the one that will work in everybody, whereas 8 weeks will definitely not work in everybody. It'll work in some, but not in everybody. But 16 weeks is believed to, you know, by then the maternal antibodies will have gone. The recommendation is that you titer test at 20 weeks.
Right.
So four weeks after the last vaccine, and after the pup, you know, the puppy needs to be older than 16 weeks. The recommendation is 20 weeks. And they're actually saying that if you don't titer test, if you just give the puppy vaccines and you don't titer test at 20 weeks, you should give a fourth vaccine at 6 months. Just to catch those that may not have responded to any of the earlier ones. It has been the most common reason for vaccine breakdowns, you know, for animals to become infected in spite of having been vaccinated, is this issue that we vaccinated puppies, but we've stopped too early. So in this, that you could have given one or two or three vaccines, but if maternal antibodies were still present, they would have blocked the vaccines and the animal might as well never have received any vaccines. They have never been immunized. And the biggest group of animals that are not immunized, often in spite of several vaccines, are dogs younger than a year or 15 months or whenever you give the first booster after the puppy vaccines. And that's because in a significant proportion of animals, one study I saw said about 25%, the puppy vaccines failed to immunize because right. You stopped the course too young. So the recommendation is 8, 12 and 16 weeks, and then a titer test at 20 weeks. You can also, I mean, As a vet, I'm recommending that we follow the WSAVA guidelines, but ask me in confidence what I do with my own puppies, and I give them one shot at 16 weeks because that's the one that we know works. But of course, there is what we call a window of susceptibility. I mean, it's impossible to vaccinate the puppy immediately on the day, in the hour that the maternal antibodies fall below the level that blocks the vaccine. Even if you could identify that moment and vaccinate them then, it will be a little while before the vaccine worked. So it's impossible to ensure that the puppy is covered always. It's impossible for there not to be this so-called window of susceptibility between the waning of the maternal antibodies and the full effect of the puppy's own vaccines. And a very important point to make about that is that it's fine. And I was very happy to see that the report also addresses that. Because if you go back far enough, we used to say that you should isolate puppies until they were fully vaccinated. And that has done so much harm in terms of missing out on important early socialization. And puppies should never be isolated. I think that's an important point to make as well when we're talking about puppies and vaccines, that, you know, puppies need to get out there.
They Absolutely. Do, no, definitely need to get out there. But that is so interesting, you know, and again, I just think it's interesting that titer testing is coming to the fore again, you know,
and
it might help spur on, you know, vets will need to learn about titer testing because it's now listed again in a different, you know, in a different way by the WSAVA, that it's interesting if it's going to be mandatory. I mean, that's really, really interesting to really test the immunity, because then I suppose it would go on to suggest that if they are immune, say at 20 weeks, then would that, you know, imply, Lise, that they're immune for life?
In for many of them, yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, the previous WSAVA guidelines, in some ways, were even stronger in their recommendations of titer tests. I mean, the previous version said that if you want to practice a gold standard of veterinary medicine, you really need to titer test. This doesn't say that. It says it's for each vet. It actually says vets shouldn't feel obliged to offer titer test. It's a matter of personal choice, which is a funny way to put that. But I mean, there is nothing mandatory. No, you're right. If you have a kennel, you need to vaccinate puppies before you sell them. But for the private dog owner, there are no mandatory vaccines. You know, you can absolutely inform yourself and you can pick and choose. And I cannot recommend highly enough, because this is a very complex topic and vets get confused as well. You know, I mean, anybody who sees their vet, make sure that they've read the latest version of the WSAVA guidelines. Literally, they're not a week old. I'm not suggesting. Can I just say, I'm not suggesting dog owners read them. They are a scientific document, and they're not easy to digest. But my book goes through this, and there are other sources of information. But just inform yourselves. You know, when we're talking about vaccines, what vaccines? When do we give them? How often do we repeat them? It is complex, but titer testing is definitely a huge part of the answer in how best to manage a dog's immune system through life. And the report does say, and I quote, it's important to avoid unnecessary overuse of vaccines. And to avoid that, titer testing is absolutely the tool.
Gosh, I mean, you know, I feel so blessed to be informed at this point, I think. So that's okay. I mean, Prue, who's barking in the background a bit, she only had the one shot at 16 weeks. So yeah, you know, I've not tried to test her since, because, you know, I probably wouldn't actually give her any more jabs, even if her levels were low, but they weren't at the time. So I'm not fussed, really, to be honest.
No,
with
absolutely.
You.
Sure. No, I mean, the most important vaccine is the one at 16 weeks or after. And the most important titer test by far is the first one you do. You know, I'm not going to insist that anyone keep doing them, but you must do a titer test. I would say that clearly, really, all puppies should be titer tested when they're 5 or 6 months old, because if they're covered then that's what you really need to know. It doesn't matter how many puppy vaccines they have. What's important is that when they're 20 to 26 weeks old, their mother's antibodies have gone, that you check that they have actually been immunized against the three core diseases. And from there, it depends what you need it for, whether you need documentation to get into classes or whatever. But I mean, the most important thing is the titer test at 5 or 6 months.
Yes, and it's a shame people won't let puppies in, you know, to puppy classes. I think they do, though, because, you know, most vets do the shots at 12 weeks and then you can go to puppy class. Most of them will have their maternal antibodies anyway at that age. So
yeah, no, absolutely. I think increasingly we're just realizing that it's, I mean, it used to be, but I mean, this is going back a while, that you weren't welcome in places like that until 2 weeks after the second vaccine or something. But I mean, let's not even repeat that, because that's not how it is anymore. You know, puppies should be out and about, be socialized and go to puppy classes, regardless of their vaccine status. But it is a worry. I read recently that at the moment, only about 3/4 of puppies in the UK actually are vaccinated, you know, get their puppy vaccines at all. So that means 25% of puppies or young dogs have never been vaccinated. And that's really worrying. I mean, there are, parvovirus is the big one, you know, there are very serious illnesses out there, and it takes a certain percentage of the dog population to be immune for the whole dog population in a country to acquire herd immunity, so that these viruses aren't about anymore, because there aren't enough susceptible dogs to keep them going. And that's just around there. So those individuals who omit vaccinating their puppy at all are really putting everybody's dogs at risk. You know, all puppies should be vaccinated, but we just need to inform ourselves on what vaccines do we give them, and when do we give them, and how many. But not to vaccinate us all is dangerous.
No, I agree. Out of interest, though, you know, can we titer test cats yet?
We can, but not against, I mean, we can't titer test against all diseases in dogs either. In cats, we titer test against panleukopenia, which is also somewhat sometimes called cat parvovirus. Yes, in exactly the same way that we do for dogs. There has been a titer test available for cat flu, but it is not regarded as reliable. So we can titer test cats, but only against only for panleukopenia, which is the one vaccine that we give cats that provides very long-term protection. The cat flu vaccines don't. And cat flu vaccines are given to each individual cat on the basis of a risk assessment, not on the basis of a titer test. Like indoor cats don't need them at all. Cats that go out, you need to look at, you know, what is their environment? Do they meet lots of other cats, and what's the health of the cats that they associate with? So either you do it every year, or you do it less frequently, or you don't do it at all. This is the cat flu vaccines, but not based on the only based on a risk assessment of that cat's lifestyle.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, just interested. That's all. And then, yes, what would you say about, you know, neutering a tomcat?
Well, there are people who have entire tomcats, but it is a small minority. Again, when we talk about cats, a lot depends on their lifestyle. If you have, my general advice would be to neuter male cats, primarily because many entire male cats will start spraying indoors. And if you neuter them once they've started spraying indoors, it may help, but it may not once the sort of habit has been established. Neutered male cats don't normally spray indoors if they're neutered before they start doing that, which is generally around a year. So in terms of general advice, I would say get them neutered, but wait as long as you can. So if you have a cat that is strictly indoors, doesn't have outdoor access, and you trust yourself with windows and escape routes, etc., I would do it just before they turn one.
Yes.
But if you have a cat that mixes, you know, that goes out, then you need to do it earlier. You need to do it before they reach sexual maturity. The thing about intact cats, if they go out, is that I mean, you just can't have intact cats going out, really, because they will mate, and with that comes fighting and just, you know, going out and about looking for sex, and I was going to say drugs and rock and roll, but, you know, looking for fights and looking for looking to mate, and that's where most of the dangers for a cat lie. You know, there's a lot of diseases that are transferred when they fight and when they have sex. So there's a lot of cat viruses around. So a cat going outside really, I would say, I would go as far as to say that I would not find it safe to let an entire cat go out if it was not neutered. But if you have a strict indoor lifestyle for your cat, then some people get away with it and it's not a problem. And if it's not a problem, I don't have an issue with it at all. The main thing would be that they may start spraying, and it may be hard to stop if they start spraying. But other than that, if they don't go outside, and I know that people do it, and why not?
Yeah, so interesting. Thank you. Excellent advice, Lise. And very interesting for this update on the WSAVA's latest vaccination guidelines. So I urge everyone to look that up. And in fact, the vaccination guidelines link is going to be in the show notes, Lise, along with the link to get your book and how to get hold of you for more advice.
Thank you. Yes, that's great. I'm not expecting... When I say that I think every dog owner should inform themselves, I wouldn't say that that extends to reading the full vaccination guidelines, because that's a bit of a mouthful. But it's good to know where they are if you're ever in a discussion with a vet who hasn't studied the latest version, or, you know, anybody else who wants to know where the information is coming from.
Exactly. And that's something I do. I recommend people do read them so they know where they are. And they're not that difficult to understand, really. If you are quite interested in reading something quite nitty gritty, you can get your head around it. But it's backup, really, when you're...
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's also in the references to my book is a sort of rundown of what it means in practice. But the link is also in the references in my book, because I think it is important. It's important to highlight the fact that it's not really... I think in summary, all this new information that we have about vaccination, neutering, et cetera, it's not a matter of differing opinion as much as it's a matter of new science showing new ways. And some are there already, and some are stuck in the old ways, and some are in mid-transition. So it's more a matter of, have you read it yet? Or have you heard it yet? Or have you changed the way you do things yet? So it's more a matter of progress rather than a matter of alternate
staying
views.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, life is about change.
It is.
Vets still recommend chicken and rice if a dog's got a tummy upset,
so,
you know, but they've been recommended that for over 50 years. So, and we know that rice really isn't
a
species appropriate food to eat. But on that note, we'll leave people wanting more for the next one, Lise, and I hope you will come back.
I'd love to come back. It's always great to talk to you. And can I, what just popped into my head when you said that? I mean, how many of us get dietary advice from our doctor? You know, sometimes we need to inform ourselves, use the health professional for what they can do for us. But it's not an excuse to not study these things for ourselves. That would be my plea, really. You know, I think that pet parents need to inform themselves, and thankfully are. To a degree that wasn't common even a decade ago. And it's great. It's really fantastic with all this new information. It's amazing that it's available, and it's amazing that we're able to change our ways so that we can look after our dogs and cats better.
Absolutely.
It's exciting stuff.
It is exciting because, you know, they're worth it. You know, they are they're worth it. Lise. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Honestly, thank you. And okay, I will get Baggy, my stray Tomcat's, you know, balls chopped off. And then, yes.
Well, if he doesn't go outside and you don't mind him spraying, then I think that'll be fine. If he goes outside, I would say it puts him at risk being entire, because it will put him in situations that are unsafe.
Yes. Well, he's a bit special anyway, you know, so I think we'll look at that in due course. But look, thank you again. And let's stay in touch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nice to speak with you.
That's our show, Mr. Binks. What did you think? Yes, it is very important to have a titer test. You're right. And what's that? It is Time for Woof of the Week. Don't forget that there is a big difference between being immunised and over-vaccinated. Well, I hope you all enjoyed it. If you did, go on, rate and review the show wherever you tune into your podcast. Why not leave a review? Because it really makes a difference. Thanks again, of course, to Dr. Lees for joining us today. All the links, of course, are in the show notes, especially direct links to purchase the complete book of cat and dog health as soon as it's back in stock, which won't be long. Thanks, of course, to Mike Hansen for all the music and production as ever. And find out more about Pod People at Pod People UK. And for me, check me out at Anna Webb Dogs or on my website for lots of nutrition and behaviour advice, even a combination of the two. What's that, Mr. Binks? Yes, you're right. We will be back in your feed next Sunday. So go on, subscribe, because that way you'll never miss another show. Bye for now. People.